From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. Here at newsounds.org, we've been taking the opportunity, while our performance studio is closed, to look through our archives for some memorable performances from years past. Here's one of them.
Left the eyes for the flies, then retreated into the brown grass. Bed of pine, needles prickling, the smallest manger fit for girl kings. Chicken bones and pervert wings, dime bags and plastic.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Since releasing their first album together in 2004, the band Coco Rosie has beaten its own path through a thicket of musical styles. You'll hear elements of indie rock, freak folk, electronic music, and hip-hop, but Coco Rosie are not bound by any of those genres. The two sisters who make up Coco Rosie, Bianca and Sierra Cassidy, have brought their band, which includes a table full of toys, into the studio to play some songs from their new album, Heartache City. With the title track, here's Coco Rosie, live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That's Coco Rosie, live on Soundcheck with the title track of their new album. It's called Heartache City. And the members of Coco Rosie, as always, Sierra and Bianca Cassidy, the singing sisters, with Sierra at our piano, and Bianca playing, what was that you were playing there, Bianca?
Some kind of toy.
Yeah. It's a striking sound. And then Tez beatboxing, and Takuya doing the trumpet playing, and he's got a couple of keyboards we'll be hearing from in a few minutes. Sierra, Bianca, good to have you with us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks to have us.
So the first press releases that came out for this record didn't have a title for it. Now the album has a title, Heartache City.
Woo!
How does that happen? I mean,
Things happened in a strange order this time around. We're kind of shooting from the hip with this whole release, and it's going pretty well. It's pretty fun.
Well, the first sounds on the record are the sounds, I guess it's you, Bianca, winding up some music boxes or something like that?
Yeah, winding up an old, it's a toy from the 50s with the little fairy tale things.
It's a television screen made of plastic, and just behind the plastic is a piece of paper that rolls and shows different pictures. So
row your boat, stuff like that.
And then inside there's a little music box.
So it's like one of those old play schools.
Yes.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay. So that is the literal starting point for the album. What was the kind of thematic, was there an idea behind this record when you started?
We did decide to sort of break our addiction to a very experimental, multi-layered, hi-fi production process that we had been getting more and more into for the last few records.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the departure. Like, can we strip it back? Very little effects, 4 to 5 tracks, something we hadn't done since our first record. And that limitation and structure was just the right thing we needed to write all the songs.
Mm. Here's something that you guys wrote about this record. We wrote and gathered much of the material at our farm studio in the south of France with minimal equipment, vintage toys, and antique instruments. That's a really interesting description, but the word that leaps out at me from this sentence is gathered. You don't think of music as something that you gather.
You're good.
So what, I mean, literally, what did you gather there on the farm?
Well, even the songwriting is like, a lot of it takes place while walking around the farm. So we're gathering images and poetic ideas. A lot of the songs are observational. Like, mm-hmm. I spy a cat and there goes a tractor and... You know, really, really, what's going on? We call it farm hop. It's like, it's really dedicated to the farm.
Farm hop.
Yeah.
Now, couldn't you have done this back in your original home of Iowa? Did you have to move to the south of France to get a farm there to make this kind of music?
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, it's not. It's a pretty silly question, but I posed it anyway.
There's a lot of corn in Iowa, and that's really great. But, you know, in the south of France, there's a whole lot of history, and the structures where we work are falling apart, and they're super ancient and full of a lot of ghosts. And with a place that old, those barns are inhabited by tons of owls. So by dark, there's screaming owls past the window constantly. And it, you know, what can I say? It adds.
Yeah. Wow. And when you say old, how old?
We're not that great with dates and places, but...
one of the oldest wine cellars in the south of France.
There's old...
Really? So you're talking...
Cowboy
barracks with, like, weird summer camp cowboy graffiti on the wall. Like, Carlos and Juan. Carlos loves Juan.
Ooh.
Little Brokeback Mountain.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah. But, yeah, very, very old. And, yeah, there's some love stories been done in there.
Wow. Because, you know, of course, in the United States, when you say old, you know...
Yeah.
People talk about... Oh, they tore down the original Yankee Stadium. It was 75 years old. And in Europe.
No, we're talking about another thing.
Yeah, you're talking about almost geological stretches of time.
Yeah.
So did you literally find some of these toys, Bianca, on
in
these
the
jaunts around the farm?
Yes. My favorite one right now, French one with some really good animal sounds and also shapes, mm-hmm. triangle, square. This I found on the farm, and it had been sitting
nice
in the rain, and it seems like it's at least from the 80s, and maybe it has been out there the whole time.
Wow.
It was like kind of croaking, and I thought it had a permanently sort of distorted sound, but I just had to change the battery, so... Hmm.
All right. So that becomes part of the sound. And then you have, you know, the interplay of the two voices. You have this beautiful kind of serene piano or guitar, sometimes even harp and things. But then it's kind of subverted by a lot of the imagery, you know, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, as you said, Bianca, it's what you see as you're walking by. But then there are more kind of strange and unsettling turns of phrase that happen as well. Are you kind of playing with, you know, that tension between the weirdness of the words and the sound of the music?
I think that's always been our combination, and it's sort of inherent in our personalities also, the two of us. Mm-hmm. There's always been a kind of dualism, and we do use the music and also a lot of Sierra's vocal presence to uplift and to kind of carry dark messages, like on a mm-hmm. on a light river.
Sierra, you first moved to France to study opera, right?
That's right.
And you are now in a whole nother world, musically speaking.
Ooh, I took a turn.
Yes, you did. Was it Bianca coming to France that sort of set you down that road, or had you started down there already?
No, it was upon her arrival that I started to skip class. And when she came to visit me, she kind of took over my space, covered my walls with photographs. She was working on a series of pictures called La Maison de mon rêve, and they were buildings half destroyed, falling apart. And I said, well, I usually put my music on the walls to learn my arias. I would tape them. Mm-hmm. So this got to be a little bit of a problem. She took over my space and eventually, I guess, took over my life.
That's one way of putting it.
Uh-huh,
okay.
The other sister will always have another side of the story. I should just say La Maison de Mon Rêve, the name of the first record that you guys did. So, all right, Bianca, what's your... what's your version of this this Rashomon tale?
Sierra had always planned on doing some kind of a circus-style busking, is that what it's called, kind of performance. And when I showed up, she just put me to work.
All right, then.
Uh-huh. Oh, so then I put you to work doing...
taking over your life, apparently.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Bianca, come here and take over my life. That seems to be, if I were to resolve these two narratives, that would be... Nah, doesn't work. Doesn't work. The album is called Heartache City. It's the latest from Coco Rosie. They're playing here in the Soundcheck studio today and touring around and eventually making your way to South America, right?
That's right.
Was there a South American connection in the making of this record?
Yes. We've been working for several years with an engineer that we love from Buenos Aires named Nicholas Caldwell. That's really what brought us back down there. Mm. And then we made some friends and we shot a music video and got convinced through really good barbecue serenade to come back pretty soon after. We really love it there, actually. Mm. So we're really happy to go back.
All right. Well, the song you're going to do next for us has a Spanish title, Un Beso, A Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say something?
I don't know. We just got excited for that.
Do you want to do it for us?
Let's do it.
All right. It's a really good example of what we were talking about, this kind of dichotomy of the images and the lyrics and the sound of the music. Sierra and Bianca Cassidy and the rest of the band, Coco Rosie, performing this song from their new album, Heartache City, live here in the Soundcheck studio.
Triangle jaune. Étoile rouge. Ah. C.
A. Carré orange.
My mother calls a gypsy lift and I'm gonna get a bag. The wind is just right, and the violets think so too. I think I spy a shat making a poo. I like to gypsy lift the stars and send one out to you. You, who are you? Someone with no dandruff. Perhaps brown eyes, a derelict, a dandy. I'm out shopping in my canoe, finger fucking the fireflies, finger frolicking firewood, spying on the masturbating snails, hollyhock and cattails, boneless jellyfish and whales. Perhaps I'll meet you then on the decadent horizon, where young lovers lock lips looking at the Loch Ness Monster. Fooey fooey, hands kablooey, gypsy lifting on a handstand. Little Donnie, Fawnlet and Scrawny, Devil, Jordan, Henry and Johnny, buttermilk molasses, sugar, two glasses. Tell me apart. Buttermilk molasses, sugar, two thin. Buttermilk molasses, sugar, two thin. Buttermilk molasses. It's just me, the chimney sweep. Little Bo Peep, tending to her sheep, eating her curds away.
Leper.
Daryl Hannah, get a grip. It's only the first season of the end of your career. Nightmares and dreams, harlequins and queens. Who is my truest love?
Carré orange.
Don't make me take my finger out and point it in your direction. The Bible tells me so. Jewish. He's out shopping in the cheese again. Moss on trees, moss on trees, moss on trees. Broken branches, avalanches. Who's got the keys to my Jeep? Who's got the code to the condo of my soul? I'm vibing grace again like Marilyn Manson. I'm vibing grapes again.
Carré, 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 carré,
carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré,
carré, carré, carré, carré,
carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré,
carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré,
carré, carré, carré, carré, carré,
carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré,
carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré,
carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré,
carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, carré, Little Bo Peep tended to her sheep, eating her curds away. Daryl Hannah, get a grip. It's only the first season of the end of your career. Nightmares and dreams, harlequins and queens. Who is my truest love? Buttermilk molasses, sugar to the grasses. Buttermilk molasses, sugar to them. Buttermilk molasses, sugar to them.
Great. That's Un Beso, A Kiss. It's a new song from the album Heartache City by Coco Rosie. Bianca and Sierra Cassidy singing, and Sierra once again at our piano. Bianca playing that odd little French toy with all the animal sounds, with Tez beatboxing and Takuya playing keyboards from the album Heartache City. So what's the division of labor between the two of you in the songwriting process?
It's hard to say. It's changing all the time.
It's not like someone does words, someone does music. Or is it?
Not exactly. I'm writing poetry all the time. So we have a little suitcase full of poetry, mm-hmm. and we have stacks of poems flying around.
It's very handy.
Yeah.
And sometimes we sing each other's words, and then often Sierra will kind of, she often writes the choruses. It brings an entirely different message to
everything.
Usually
a response to mm-hmm. the poem we're working on.
Yeah.
And my writing process, which is really different from Bianca's, is like a recording process. For me, I write intuitively while singing. I don't write, you know, on
pen
paper.
On paper, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that some songwriters who are also poets do make a distinction between their poetry and their lyrics, and they know which is which. Bianca, is it all one thing to you, or do you make that distinction as well?
I prefer just dealing with poetry and sometimes adapting it a bit.
Mm.
From time to time, I'll sit down when Sierra's playing the harp, for instance, and write the words, like really locking them already into rhythm and melody. But a lot of this record, where I'm more speaking or rapping, it's just poetry that has not been really considered for music.
Mm.
And learning like how to create the rhythm in delivering them was really challenging and kind of the most fun I had in the studio.
Fun for me too, because, you know, writing choruses or when that happens, it's really nice for me to respond to poetry that has been unfiltered and untamed from Bianca, especially the feeling, the abstract depth of that, not contrived for music and rhythm, inspires me.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times in those situations, the chorus is very contrasting.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny how it goes back to sort of pre-hip-hop, you know, the idea of, you know, where did hip-hop come from? You look at the Last Poets and people like that, you know, that kind of wordplay was really important then. So you mentioned, Bianca, whether you had to adapt the words or not to the music. Talking about adaptation, how is it now taking these songs out of the studio and playing them live? How set are these arrangements that we're hearing?
I think it's always been a real journey for us, especially with the last few records that were more psychedelic.
Right.
This record, Heartache City, is much more straightforward. The music is set in a very simple way so that the poetry can really have a life and take space. This is great for live. This is easy.
One of the main differences is we work with a beatboxer for live almost all of the time and not so much in the studio process.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with this record, it's like a kind of analog drum machine, but we like to keep it live. It brings something else.
Mm-hmm. In terms of some of the toy sounds, I mean, those seem like they're kind of ad lib. You know, you can put them in wherever and however often you want.
Sometimes they have their very particular their particular place.
So Heartache City is not the only thing that the two of you have been working on since the last record. You worked with Robert Wilson, right? On a version of Peter Pan?
That's right.
That's right. We've now collaborated with two productions. Most recently in Moscow, we produced with Robert the Pushkin Fairy Tales.
Oh.
But Peter Pan was a remarkable experience, where in the end, I was asked to step in for a series of performances as the star Tinkerbell.
Wow.
And that was quite a challenge.
So how did your music fit into that production?
It was a really big part of the construction of the scenes, even. We had a really good collaboration with Robert. We kind of pushed our own narratives into the play, and it sculpted a lot of the scenes. So, yeah, I had somebody ask me recently, what was it like to write for Peter Pan when normally your songs are so personal? And my answer was, we wrote completely personal songs. I was identifying with Wendy and giving her all these father issues, and then the Lost Boys.
I was Hook.
Oh, yeah, she was Hook. We made a very.
Oh my goodness! My dark side came out.
So you were Hook and Tinkerbell.
I ended up, yeah,
but
I
in
ended
the writing process,
I started as Hook.
And it was a kind of, we made a really homoerotic tale between Hook and Peter. Which isn't completely our invention.
This is what Barry had talked about that.
Yeah, so we were able to twist things around quite a bit and had a lot of fun.
And so were the songs performed on stage or were they, did you record them?
We had a 10-piece band, a really special band. We were able to kind of handpick through different auditions and had a great flautist from
Chile
and also a percussionist and other great musicians. And then the cast, which was the Berliner Ensemble, the Brecht Theater in Berlin. It's a really prestigious theater. They were mostly pretty good singers and used to doing musicals, so it was like a major musical, song after song after song.
Yeah,
like 30 songs.
It was a lot of songs.
Well, you know, you're working with a guy who started his career doing like silent plays and then moved on to plays with incidental music, and then, of course, came Einstein on the Beach with Philip Glass and then the operas, and so, yeah, he's really gotten into music. So you join a long list of great collaborators, you know, Philip Glass and Tom Waits and Lou Reed and now Coco Rosie. So is the song Lost Girls kind of a spinoff of this project?
Yes, it is, actually. More just conceptually. When we were getting into the Lost Boys, it just kind of became the Lost Girls for us. And this title, which we spray painted in our loft here, where we're actually just visiting right now, so we're reminded of the roots of everything. It's like bright pink on the wall. The title Lost Girls kind of flew around before we even wrote the song, and then we ended up doing the song, and then we did this video also for it in South America.
Okay. Well, you want to do it for us here today?
Let's do it.
All right. Sierra and Bianca Cassidy are the band Coco Rosie, along with their beatboxer Tez and Takuya playing the keyboards and trumpet. This is Lost Girls. It's another track from their new album, Heartache City. They're playing for us live on Soundcheck.
Triangle jaune. Lapin.
Even though red's not your color, I'll dress you in feathers and fly you in the windy weather like a child bird maroon dawning. Island of cats. Little dewy brawling cats with cross eyes and hats. They take mercy on you and they take you for walks. The mercy choir singing dismal hymns, watery Bible rims, all jumbled a mess. A mess of bright graves and flowers and balloons. So this is what you gotta do. Just stick out your thumb and lift up your skirt. Someone's bound to stop here soon. Take down your hair and wind up your grin. Someone's gonna take you home. Of trinket, I'm off to seek my fortune again, chasing ghosts of dead orphan, friend, cousin, or kin. We wave to the passerby, moth wings of a butterfly, and this track's where no car passed. Close your eyes and you can fly. I'm off to meet my soulmate, a naked, funny jailbait, wading into ponds, filling with polywogs at dawn. Mourning the light that slipped from my eyes. A little child with dirty nails and dirty hair. I had dirty things sprawled upon my mind. I had such dirty things.
Lost Girls, the name of that song from Coco Rosie, at a live performance here in the studio with Sierra Cassidy at our piano, Bianca Cassidy playing more of her toys, and Tez beatboxing, and Takuya playing keyboards and trumpet. And Bianca, you started that song with what looked like a megaphone, but already had some of Sierra singing the chorus loaded into it.
Yeah, I just captured a little of her tuning up on the piano, and it's a sort of broken, a nice broken sampler.
Yeah, it's nice. Are you working or have you done a solo record in addition to the Coco Rosie stuff?
I did do a solo record. I don't know exactly when I did it because it's sort of something I worked on off and on. And I've been touring that project as well. I have a band called the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of indulging in things that Coco Rosie really doesn't like to do. And even though we touch on, I would say, almost every genre, rock is something that is really a big no-no in Coco Rosie. And I started kind of digging into dark side of rock and roll.
Hmm. Why would rock, of all the genres, why would that be a no-no for this band?
Well, in our younger years, we traveled around kind of like gypsies with our dad, who put us in a Volkswagen. we drove during
some kind of van.
Right, yeah. Some kind of
station wagon.
Station
actually.
Wagon.
Oh, okay, so probably not a Volkswagen, yeah, but all right, go ahead.
There were seven of us siblings wagon. In the back, and we would drive all night long. So no stopping, no hotels, no house, and just living on the road. And he would crank that radio. The rock and roll was just blasting. White Snake, you know, Stones.
Wow. So yeah. Like hair metal and yeah. Stuff?
It was scary. A lot. But it was scary. So it's hard to just, it's hard to go back.
Yeah. Although there are people who are kind of scared of you two.
That's true. That's true.
In a very different way, I suppose. I think this new album sounds great. And I'm really glad that the two of you came in and brought the band and played some of it for us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, John.
This is Soundcheck. Coco Rosie from the Soundcheck Archives. And back in the year 2020, in the present, Coco Rosie have a recent album out. It's called Put the Shine On, and it has some of their most pop-sounding pop music yet, although some of the songs actually have quite dark subject matter. We'll wrap up with a little bit of this song called Restless, one of my favorite tracks from the new Coco Rosie record. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks to our technical director, Irene Trudell, and our producer, Karen Havlick, and to you for being with us for this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast.
for cuts and knits, ticks and fits, alchemists, the light and dark, trying to keep that little spark. Her love was blind, it shattered her mind, and now she's gone wild in the moonshine, with no mother and no child. She had to leave her own man behind, a deadbeat dad, another clown sad, traded their love for cheap wine. And now she hit the road without a jack or a jar, and the story goes on. One day she'll find.